Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That's AWF Union Podcast. And our Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Dorsey Hager, I just want to talk more about Joe Biden and what a different administration this is going to be. On Wednesday, 2 days ago, Biden held a Zoom call with laid-off union workers and a restaurant owner. People on the call included a school crossing guard, an IATSE rigger, and a concession worker. All three told their story and had a conversation about the problems that they face and the help that they need from a Biden administration. Is that incredible? I mean, he's not even president yet, and he's making huge headway reaching out to workers. And I just want to mention, I talked yesterday about Jared Bernstein. Now, Biden and Jared Bernstein go back to the Obama administration. He was Biden's economic advisor. And Jared has a long history with the Economic Policy Institute, very distinguished economist. Now, he is going to join Biden's Council of Economic Advisors. And at a press conference on Tuesday of this week, Bernstein talked about his past union membership. And this is what he said. I grew up with a single mom, a lifelong educator. And he said her proudest moment wasn't when I got a PhD. It was when I got a union card. He's a member of the American Federation of Musicians, Local 802 out of New York City. And Jared Bernstein earned a degree in music from the Manhattan School of Music, then went on to earn a doctorate in economics from Columbia University. These are the people that Joe Biden is surrounding himself with. Good stuff, good stuff. Let's go to our live line. Join Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. Dorsey, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
Doing great. All is right with the world. The Browns are 8-3, and it looks like we're going to have a new person in the White House, somebody who I think we can very easily say is going to be one of the most pro-labor presidents we've had quite some time.
I mean, I'm giddy. You know what? We were talking off the air here. I think a lot of people, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it, because you represent so many. What is it, 18,000 workers or something in Central Ohio? What's the amount of people
18,000.
You represent?
18,000. Yeah, 18,000.
Okay. I think it hasn't sunk in yet, and I know he hasn't taken office and all that, but just the talk, just what I mentioned here, meeting with union workers, getting the right people, Janet Yellen to head the Treasury Department. What are you hearing so far?
Well, like you said, I know you and I talked off the air, and this election's been, you know, very exciting. It looks like President-elect Biden, when it's all said and done, is going to win from anywhere between 8 and 10 million votes, and getting the most votes ever by anybody elected to the White House. He won in some states where people didn't expect him to win, obviously Georgia and Arizona. Winning Pennsylvania was huge. But when they postgame this thing and they look at the demographics and they look at the breakdown, and I know the media talks a lot about how Latinos voted, how different types of Latino voted, how the black turnout was, how college-educated women voted. You know, they break it down in all those, you know. The one that I'm going to be interested in to see how union members voted. And I know that union members overwhelmingly – you know, voted high for Trump in 2016. I don't know if that shifted in 2020. It'll be interesting to see. But the thing that you and I talked about off air, and I'm going to say here again, is I don't think a lot of our union members realize, one, how important this election was, but two, how important it is to get Joe Biden in the White House. Because I know they listen to their radios and they turn on their TVs and they hear President Trump talk about immigration. They hear him talking about border patrols, you know, some of the other stuff that he talks about, and they don't get into the real deep stuff of what the president can do. I mean, you look at his appointments to the Supreme Court. Many have been anti-labor, pro-right to work appointees, but also all the way down the line through the federal court system. You know, he just appointed a judge the other day, or the Senate confirmed a judge the other day to a federal court that was 31 years old that was only 8 years out of law school.
Oh,
eight
no.
years out of law school. So that person could sit on that federal bench for 40 to 50 years to rule against labor rights. So if, you know, having Joe Biden in there, if we can get, you know, some normalcy in the Senate, and if we can get some of these judges confirmed, and if we can get some of these things done, and of course, the big one is, you know, passage of the PRO Act, protecting the right to organize, which we've talked about on your show before. I think that we can really stem the tide, turn the corner here for the labor movement. All polls and all everything you talk about with younger people, they have a very high favorability rating towards unions. And I think that this is a thing that we can use. You see how the pandemic has affected people who don't have collective bargaining rights, and how people with collecting bargaining rights have made it through this thing a lot better. And I just think that it's very important that we let our members know how important some of these things are, but it's also important that we pay attention and we make sure that the people that we elected are doing what we elected them to do, and that's to help everybody and to grow the middle class.
You know, I'm so glad you brought up the pandemic. As you know, Dorsey, it's all in the timing. And with this pandemic, it really cast a light on so many people that we call essential workers, the healthcare workers. I mean, we've got the nurses on the front line right now. And from what I gather, the National Nurses Union represents about 150,000 nurses. There's a long way to go on that one. I mean, there's a lot of hospitals, and they've fought organizing drives for years. But imagine how much better conditions would be if we had more people represented by unions. And we've seen this in various countries where labor law is definitely more palatable in those countries. You know exactly what I'm talking about here. Getting back to the timing and all this. Now, Biden said his first priority is stimulus. And who knows? Maybe we'll get something by the end of the year. I'm tired of waiting on that one. And I'm sure a lot of people are in the same category. But the second priority, and Rich Trump has pretty much said this, is the PRO Act. So that being said, it seems to me that the only thing stopping that would be like the Mitch McConnells. And it just this kind of like casts a whole lot a light on this Georgia election coming up on January 5th. Any thoughts on that?
I think it's a huge election. I mean, if the Democrats can win the two seats with Ossoff and Warnick, but more importantly, get Perdue and Kelly Loeffler out of there, who are definitely huge, huge anti-union and are lockstep, you know, walking, you know, with President Trump, even coming out, which this is a conversation for another show, but I don't understand how Loeffler and Perdue and President Trump stump in Georgia to drive the vote out, but on the other side are telling them that the election was rigged for Biden and that the governor and the secretary of state, who are both elected Republicans, need to be replaced and fired because of the way that they ran the election in Georgia. I still haven't figured that one out yet. But anyway, I think it's hugely important to get those two elected so that way the Senate's a 50-50 split. And then Vice President-elect Harris has a deciding vote. But, you know, the PRO Act, I believe, was passed by Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic-led Congress in March. It was sent to the Senate, and it hasn't even had a hearing or a debate, let alone a vote for passage. So,
right.
And it was a bipartisan bill in Congress, too. There was lots of Republicans that crossed the aisle and voted for the PRO Act, which, you know, we talked about it before, but, you know, it helps makes it better and a more level playing field for unions to be able to organize, you know. So, yeah, I think all eyes are going to be on Georgia here on January 5th. I think it's going to be interesting. But even if worst case scenario, the Democrats lose both seats or only win one seat and they're still in the minority in the Senate, I'm hoping that Biden's ties to the Senate and his crossover appeal where he works so long with people from the other side, I hope that he's able to do that and that Mitch McConnell's not such the obstructionist that he was for the 6 years the Senate was controlled under the 8 years of Obama. I hope that they work with them a little bit, but we'll see. And back to the pandemic and the light that it's shown, you know, I just saw this morning, or I heard this morning when I was on my way in, Southwest Airlines, which, you know, you and I have talked about before. I try to fly whenever I can, 100% union airline, try to support our union brothers and sisters there. They've never had a layoff, and I think it's now their 51 years of existence. They're looking at laying off 6,800 workers unless something is addressed to help the airline industry by the end of the year. And like said, I'm not holding my breath on that anymore, and it looks like, unfortunately, 6,800 of our union brothers and sisters are going to be out of work by the end of the year.
Dorsey, that is shameful. That's almost 7,000 workers and a 100% union-friendly airline. I know what you're saying about Southwest. My wife and I fly that all the time, and primarily because they give you two bags free.
Yeah. Yeah, so if your wife's like my wife, I have my bag, and then she has her free. So, yeah, that's why we fly Southwest, yes.
Yeah, well, hopefully, Congress can do something. I know they're trying to get together on the stimulus here, but there's a lot of hurt out there right now. And think about the people that are going to be living on the street. You know, the eviction moratorium ends in, what is it, New Year's Eve, I believe, December 31st.
New Year's Eve, so that big bill is going to be due January 1st. And I know exactly what you're saying. We've seen the effects of this pandemic for the last 8 or 9 months, but we're really going to see it in January, and we're really going to see it in February when some of these people are becoming homeless because they've been unable to pay their rent, and then this big rent bill is going to come due.
Yeah, Dorsey, Joe Biden's going to have a whole lot of work to do, no doubt about that. All right, we have to take a break. Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Website is columbusconstruction.org, Twitter handle BuildCentralOH. We'll continue our conversation. We're going to talk about driving futures. Women in trades, we'll touch on that. Jim Glimko, on behalf of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, will be joining us later. It's all part of America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com. Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. And don't forget, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and eventually give us a rating. 5 stars would be greatly appreciated. We also appreciate our sponsors, and Dorsey Hager is one of them on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, talk to me about driving futures. You and I have had many conversations. Maybe you can get an update on that. And also, women in trades. It's another subject that we've touched on. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of women, minorities, that are looking for work. Great opportunities there. But let's start with driving futures. Go ahead.
Yeah, so our building futures program, we've talked about the success of that for the last 3 years and how we've helped put people on the direct path to the middle class. Through some of the traditional trades jobs, you know, that people think of, bricklayers, cement, roofing, pipe fitting, plumbing, electricians, sheet metal workers, and iron workers. We just graduated our recent class of building futures. All the efforts that we've put into it, all the advertising, all the marketing that we're doing, it's done a tremendous job. The visibility and our partnership with Franklin County commissioners and the Columbus Urban League and the work that Leland Bass and Julie Machieski are doing at the Urban League and at the Electrical Trade Center, this program has really taken off, and we're really getting some great quality people that, for whatever reason, unfortunately, have fallen on hard times. So our last class that we just graduated from Building Futures, Neil Amberge, the business manager for the ironworkers, who, like all of our local unions, are incredibly busy, they were able to take 5 graduates out of this recent class, place them right on jobs. And Neil said this in our Building Futures board meeting the other night. He said it's the best class of applicants that he's seen come through this building futures since we started. So we're really proud about that. But we've kind of spun that off into driving futures, where I've been working closely with the Teamsters here, who obviously, because of everything going on with the pandemic, have a tremendous need for drivers, not just drivers that are traditional building trades jobs, but also drivers like for Sigma or Coca-Cola, you know, delivering products and stuff, or Columbus Distributing or UPS. And while those are not building trades jobs, those are Teamster jobs, they're great union jobs. And we have kids that come in and hear about building futures, and maybe that's not for them. So this is another avenue that we can work with them to give them some training, get them their Class A CDL, and get them on that path to the middle class as well. So I met with Brian Basham and Josh Kincaid, who Josh has been instrumental in this program with us in our partnership with the Teamsters. I met with them from the Teamsters, and they discussed not only the end of this year, but also 2021. And a lot of the companies that I just mentioned, the Sigmas, the Coca-Colas, Anderson, UPS, the Columbus Distributing, they have a tremendous need for drivers. Now some of these driving jobs are somewhat physical. You know, people have seen what the drivers for Coca-Cola do. You know, they bring the product into the store, they restock the shelves, they change displays, they take some of the old product out, and it's a quick pace, and there's some physicality to it. But we've been able to place graduates there who have started, you know, $52,000 a year with a tremendous Teamster benefit package, you know, the free insurance, the great pension benefits. We've also placed some people at Sigma. We've placed some people in Anderson Concrete. One quick story I want to tell you. We had a gentleman graduate from our first cohort last spring from Anderson Concrete, and it's very similar to what we see now, especially with the pandemic. He was somebody who was a displaced worker. He had 2 years of college debt that he needed to pay off, and he got his CDL. He went right to work for Anderson Concrete, and he's on pace to make a little over $80,000 this year. So he was able to pay off both years of his college debt. He was able to buy himself a new car, and he was able to put a down payment on a new house. So all this was done in less than a year, and it was with our Driving Futures program, which is, you know, 6 weeks of, you know, some soft skills, some financial literacy, and CDL training. So we did two cohorts this year. We're sneaking one in at the end of the year. And Josh and Brian said with the need for drivers next year, we could do upwards of as many as five cohorts next year. So we're excited about helping some people get through this pandemic, get the training they need, and start, you know, making those middle-class wages and benefits that we all deserve.
And how much money is he making now? What was that figure?
The gentleman that came out of the first cohort, that, and this is just one success story, we have multiple, but he's on pace to make $80,000 this year, his first year of driving for Anderson Concrete, you know, big Anderson Concrete mixing truck delivering the concrete to job sites, which, you know, I know we're talking about the weather a little bit off air, but, you know, if we can hope for a mild winter, and it's been mild so far, you know, there's a lot of concrete still left to pour here in Columbus and Central Ohio with a lot of the large projects that we have. So a lot of these companies, your Eagles, your Anderson Concretes, they're looking for drivers. They're looking for drivers.
$80,000 a year. That's great. First year. That's incredible. And there's more jobs like that. Go ahead.
And more jobs like that. And like we said, when you go, you know, because Josh and Brian do a great job of talking to these young people about the benefit package. And I mean, I guess you probably could, but I can't even fathom the price that you could put on that incredible health and welfare plan they have and that pension program that they belong to starting day one.
All right, talk to me about women in the trades. And I know there was a virtual conference just about 2 months ago, which we highly promoted here on the show by the building trades nationally. In fact, they got international participation on that. But I'm reading that your mayor, Andy Ginther, is doing a virtual outreach event, or has that happened already? Give me the
that
specs
happened,
on that.
No, that happened on Wednesday. Mayor Ginther and the City of Columbus hosted. It was moderated by the mayor's labor liaison, Barry Pickett, who's a Sheet Metal Worker 24 member. He used to be the business agent here for the sheet metal workers in Columbus. But Barry is the mayor's labor liaison. He works closely with the building trades and some of the other labor organizations there with Mayor Ginther. But Barry and I met, and we decided to do another women's outreach event. Of course, this is very near and dear to the mayor's wife, Shannon Ginther, here. She's trying to level the field in Columbus Central Ohio with pay equity. Shelley Biting and Aaron Beck, who work for the mayor and also with the Columbus Women's Commission. They were tremendously helpful in this. And we were able to highlight some of our trades, the painters, the glazers, the laborers, the bricklayers, many trades that need people right now. I mean, if a person was on this event Wednesday and was interested in getting into one of these trades, they could go down, they could meet with Harry Mullins and Chris Nagley from IUPAT, or they could meet with Sarah Geis or Mike Engbert from the laborers, or they could meet with Bill Hewlett from the bricklayers, fill out an application, take their drug test, and probably be referred out to work the very next day, and all goes well, walk right into an apprenticeship program. That's the type of market we're in right now. That's the type of work that we have, and that's what we're doing. That's the opportunity that's out there for people in Columbus and Central Ohio. We had a couple of young ladies also speak. Ebony Davis, who's a finisher, I think she's third year now. You know, she's divorced, has two young children. loves being in the trades, enjoys the work that she's doing, obviously enjoys the money. But back to that benefit package we were talking about, she really loves that health care plan that she's in with the IUPAT, which provides financial stability for her and her family and gives her and her kids tremendous health care coverage. And then Alyssa Pat, a tremendous young lady who just graduated from Building Futures and wanted to be a iron worker. She's working down at the Columbus Crew Stadium as a first-year apprentice. She's one of those people that Neil Amberge, the business agent from the iron workers, talked about, had tremendous potential and was well-equipped to walk right into his trade as a graduate of Building Futures. She spoke as well, and they just basically talked about a day in the life and what they do and the apprenticeship and the brotherhood and the sisterhood that they enjoy and the mentorship that they're getting and, you know, all the opportunities that are in front of them to have a tremendous career and be able to make a good middle-class wage that has great benefits so they can provide for themselves and their families. So it was a great event. I really appreciate the mayor, his whole staff. Also, like I said, the labor liaison, Barry Pickett, and all of our people who took part in it that did such a great job of talking about all the programs that we have to offer, and also Leland Bass over at the Urban League who helps us run Building Futures, talking about Building Futures and Driving Futures. So, and it was streamed on Facebook and on Twitter, so anybody who wants to catch it or wants to pull any information off of it can go to our website at columbusconstruction.org, or they can go to Facebook and Twitter, our social media at BuildCentralOH, and they can view that. And they can also go to the City of Columbus's page and see it as well. So, and I hope to get it up on our YouTube channel here pretty soon as well.
Good stuff. Lots of things happening in the City of Columbus. You know, you and I have been talking about this for years, about the partnerships that, and you're in the middle of all of this, which is pretty exciting for you. The fact that Columbus is on fire economically. You mentioned, what is it, Google, Amazon. Of course, you got Ohio State, the Ohio State University. You got the state, you got the state capitol there and all that. But I mean, there's a lot that's happening right now. And to your point regarding the trades, in order to continue to make all of that happen, you need workers. You need workers. Well, what is the status right now? I mean, are any of the jobs that you reference on the show, are they suffering right now because they don't have enough workers to complete them?
It's like you teed it up for me, Flash. I just had a meeting with Joe Lombardi from Finance the other day at the City of Columbus, and somebody from Parks and Rec, James Miller, who was running the Linden, overseeing the Linden Recreation Center project, which is about a $30 million job that the mayor used a CBA on, a community benefit agreement. James Miller honestly told me when we started with the CBA, he was a little bit hesitant because he thought that some of the items in the CBA were restrictive. And I said, this is going to benefit you. I said, at the end of the day, you're going to love this CBA. And I was right. I just had breakfast with him 2 weeks ago. We're about 6 weeks out from Linden Rec Center being completed. Now, the bad news is the job went over by 4 weeks. But like he said, it was no fault of our own, no fault of the building trades. All the contractors manned the work. All the apprenticeship programs made sure that we were out, and along with the Columbus Building Trades, recruiting, getting people of color, females, local people on that project to be representative of the community we were working in. There was no manpower issues there. The delay was a lot in the wet weather that we had in the winter and the spring of last year, and some other issues, supply chain issues with material that were obviously out of our control because of the pandemic. That's what caused the four-week delay, or what's going to cause it to be 4 weeks late. The thing that made James happy, though, as the customer, this project came in $400,000 under budget. And I think a lot of that deals with our teamwork, our cooperation with the City of Columbus, the Department of Parks and Recreation there in Columbus, and also Elford, who was the general contractor on that project, and all of our contractors that worked on that job, and our managers and agents, to make sure that they're diligent, to make sure that that job was a success, so that we can utilize more of these CBAs, work more closely with Mayor Ginther to, like you said, take advantage of all the work here in Columbus and Central Ohio, also continue to work closely with our county commissioners, Kevin Boyce, Marilyn Brown, and John O'Grady, and keep utilizing Building Futures, Driving Futures, and some of these other programs we're looking at in 2021 and 22 to help these young people and some of these even older people that are displaced workers to find a way into the trades and some of these jobs where they can provide for their families.
That's what it's all about. All right. Always like to end on a positive note, and that's a great story there. $400,000 under budget and all union. Gotta love that. Dorsey, thank you so much for what you do, what you contribute to the show. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Do check out that virtual Women in Trades outreach event, and you can find that on columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. We'll talk to you. Hey, you know what? The next time we talk to you is going to be New Year's Day.
It's going to be New Year's Day. I hope we're talking about the Bucks and the college football playoffs. I hope we're talking about the Browns and the playoffs. As much as I respect and love Mike Vrabel, the former Buckeye, I hope the Brownies kick his butt Sunday. 9-3 would be awesome. I cannot
wait. I'll take
wait.
It.
Cannot
I'll take it.
Wait.
And so. And Myles Garrett is back, so we're all happy
Myles
about that.
Myles Garrett is back, full strength. I can't wait. Go Browns.
All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. You take care, be safe, and have the best of the holiday season, okay?
You too. Thanks, Flash. Have a good one.